Goff takes the shotgun. Four-man rush. Goff steps up. Goff gets hit. Goff goes down inside the 15. Welcome back, Jaron Reed. Goes to the sidelines. Says, I'm fine. Comes back in and gets the third sack of the day on Goff. It's going to be fourth down and 20. And we have reached the two-minute warning. Somebody bring me a scotch.
Steve Rabel on the call, a game you heard right here on 95.3 The Score. Oh, man, as the radio home of the NFC West champs off their stout victory, let's delve deeper with our friend from the north, providing the A-plus coverage for ESPN 710 in Seattle, online 710sports.com. On Twitter, the handle is at the B Gustafson. Brandon, I'm guessing it's a pretty solid Monday for those who cover this franchise.
Oh, absolutely. And, man, that call, I get a kick out of Rabel, man. That's a funny, funny dude. I hope somebody got him a scotch.
Yeah, I have a feeling he took care of that himself post-game. So it's 6-6 at halftime. We're watching on TV. Erin Andrews is explaining her talk with Pete Carroll, who was actually kind of pleased. He said, we're in good shape. And, of course, then they come down, lock it down, pull away. But what about the confidence of the coach at such a huge moment? I mean, that's got to resonate when the boss is your biggest fan.
Yeah, you're going to be hard-pressed to find a more eternal optimist than Pete Carroll. I mean, the dude is just freaking ageless. It's unbelievable the amount of energy that guy has. But it really, that optimism for that game specifically was about the way that the defense was playing. Since Sean McVay took over with the Rams, the Seahawks have had all sorts of trouble containing that offense. They love that bootleg play action attack in the pass game with those crossing routes. They love to do their jet sweep runs. They do such a great job of getting out to the edge on those stretch run plays. And first half and into the second half, the Seahawks defense just was not letting that happen. And it's a culmination of kind of what we've seen over the last 6 or 7 weeks, where that defense has been playing like arguably the best defense in the league, which is so surprising given how the season started. You and I have talked about the defensive troubles, you know, whenever you and I end up chatting on here. But over the last 6 weeks, they're allowing 13.7 points a game. They're averaging, I think it's 287 yards per game allowed. That's incredible given how bad they were. They were historically bad over the first half of the season.
You know, I was thinking about that DK Metcalf play against Buda Baker. That was late October. In this one, you had Jamal Adams, who just beat the snap, took down Darrell Henderson in a goal-to-go situation. I mean, he saved the touchdown. But, you know, this team, who's not only loaded with talent, I mean, you see them play in, play out. I mean, they really play hard. They never take a playoff.
Yeah, one of the things that you hear early on whenever you start playing football is every blade of grass, right? Like every inch matters, and they play like that. And that Jamal Adams plays a perfect example of that. He timed that snap perfectly. There's a really good video breakdown that Dan Orlovsky of ESPN did on his Twitter account that showed that basically any time that Jared Goff was putting his right hand underneath the center, the ball was coming out with the snap just like that. And that happened 3 or 4 plays on that drive, including on that run play where Adams came from the other side and chased Henderson down. And then, yeah, he got a first down, but Adams saved the touchdown 4 plays later. They stopped all 4 plays, kept the Rams out of the end zone. It was 13-6 at that point.
Yeah.
That touchdown, that ties the game. That's a totally different ball game. After that, yeah, the Seahawks punted it away, but the defense did what they did the rest of the game. And, you know, 2 touchdowns later, it's a 20-9 win, and Seahawks are NFC champs for the 5th time since 2010.
You know, I thought on your post-game piece, you brought up a great point. When you think about this defense turning the corner, you can get specific. And, of course, since then, it's been incredible how they've, I said, turned off the scoring spout. So, as far as what you wrote, though, you've got kind of a pinpoint moment of when this thing started to turn into what we've seen the last half dozen games.
Yeah, and funny enough, it started with the Rams. And it was that first Rams game, week 10. The Seahawks had just played the Buffalo Bills and just gotten the crap kicked out of them, basically. They gave up 44 points. It was the most points Pete Carroll's ever given up as the Seahawks head coach. Russell Wilson was just beat up the whole game. They had no running game. really the only thing they did well was sack Josh Allen seven times, but when you give up 44 points, who cares, right? But that first half against the Rams in Week 10, the Rams marched down the field. I think they had the ball three or four times, and they scored every single time. And after the Rams got the ball to start the half, they went down and scored a touchdown. After that, nothing. They got absolutely nothing. And then the very next week, the Seahawks took that and carried it over against the Cardinals and had a complete effort, gave up 21 points in that game. They haven't given up more than 17 points since. It's incredible. And they were on pace to allow the most yards in a single season in NFL history by a wide margin. They were 32nd in total defense for a really, really long time. I think they were bottom five in scoring defense. Now they're about middle of the pack in scoring defense, but they're 23rd in total yards allowed. That's a remarkable turnaround in just 6 or 7 weeks.
No, I'm a stat geek, and I've been watching it, and it's incredible. Talking with Brandon Gustafson of ESPN 710 in Seattle. On offense, it wasn't exactly a tale of two halves, but Wilson and the offense had some big moments, and like you mentioned, they put the game away when they had a chance. But Brandon, I mean, for openers, that Ram defense with Donald and Ramsey and Johnson, I mean, solving them is no given. I mean, they really put the pressure on, and I feel like Wilson got sacked and hit almost all day long, but somehow survived.
Yeah, that Wilson is made of something else, man. I don't know how he gets up from some of those hits. But, yeah, that Rams defense, they entered the game with the number one ranked defense in the NFL. They're probably still number one or number two after this game. I mean, they only allowed 20 points. That's not like the defense was a big problem in that game. It was that the Seahawks defense just dominated the Rams offense that whole time. Aaron Donald is the freakiest player in the NFL, and, you know, that's saying something, especially when I watch somebody like DK Metcalf week in and week out. But yeah, that Rams defense, that's going to be tough for anybody. It looks like they're going to be playoff bound again, and based on the way that the current seeding is working out, the Seahawks might get them in that first round. But Wilson did just enough. The big turning point for offense was that big play to David Moore down the sideline. Just looked like Wilson was going to take off, and he had some open grass, looked like he had enough to get to the 6 or 7 yards he needed for the first down, and right before the line of scrimmage, he does what he does. Just a little flick, float pass right to David Moore on the sideline, and that drive capped off with a Russell Wilson touchdown run. And then when they had a chance to put the Rams away, he found Jacob Hollister with a perfect pass on a little switch route with Freddie Swain on the left side. Just remarkable to see, especially because in that first half, they really weren't doing much of anything.
No, that drive in particular was a thing of beauty. I mean, that was Wilson at his best. A couple final thoughts for Brandon. You hit on Jordan Brooks, their first-round pick. You know, he was a four-year starter in Texas Tech. He had some injuries and inconsistencies as a rookie. And you heard some rumblings about that pick. But safe to say he's coming on, and he was as big as anyone yesterday and in the middle of a bunch of big plays.
Yeah, and when you look at the numbers especially, I mean, like you said, he was in on a number of big plays. He was right there on that goal line stop. KJ Wright kind of blew that play up by hitting the tight end, but Brooks ended up getting credited with the tackle. But he's not playing a whole lot, which is kind of surprising, but he's a rookie, so it makes sense. But he's still extremely productive. In this game, he played 28 snaps. That's 37% of all of Seattle's defensive snaps. He was tied for the team lead with 8 tackles, and he just pops off when you're watching film and you're watching the game. He's just explosive. For somebody who's that big, it's surprising to see somebody be that fast and that instinctive, and he's playing really well in coverage. The Seahawks are going to have kind of a weird, tough decision this offseason because KJ Wright's on the last year of his deal. And even if you do bring KJ Wright back, then you have a tough call with who plays more between him and Brooks, because right now when the Seahawks go to those nickel packages with Ugo Amadi in the slot, Brooks is the one leaving the field. But the way that he's playing, I mean, it's hard to see a reason to take him off the field at this point.
Yeah, that's going to be a painful choice. So we know at 11-4 they won the West. Tampa is the only 5-win team, but they'll be a wild card. Green Bay's 12-3. They're ahead of both Seattle and New Orleans, and we know the Packers beat the Saints head-to-head. So I know you guys offered some clarification, so kind of paint us a picture of where the Seahawks are and Where might they also land?
Yeah, so it's going to be fun to scoreboard watch next week because the Packers play the Bears, the New Orleans Saints, they play the Carolina Panthers, and then the Seahawks end the season with the 49ers, and they're all kicking off at the exact same time. So right now the Packers are 12-3, they have the one seed, and then the Saints are the number two seed at 11-4, and the Seahawks are 11-4 as well. So right now the Seahawks are on the third seed. Most likely it'll end with in that order just based on how those teams currently stack up and who they're playing, but the Seahawks have a chance for the one seed. If they win and both New Orleans and Green Bay loses, then Seattle does get that top seed. For the second seed, they need to win. They need to beat the 49ers and then get a little bit of help. If New Orleans loses and Green Bay wins, then Seattle would get the two seed over New Orleans because they'd be 11-5 and Seattle would be 12-4. The next scenario involves a lot of tie-breaking. It's funny enough, all the teams would be 12-4 if New Orleans won, but the Packers lost and Seattle won. But the Saints, even though they lost to the Packers, they would get the one seed because of a three-way tiebreaker because not all three of those teams faced each other, and they have the best record in the NFC in terms of in-conference games. I don't see that happening. I think that most likely what we'll get is the current seeding where the Packers have home field advantage, the Saints are the number two seed, and the Seahawks play with the number three seed and host a playoff game. But based on kind of some injury stuff, Jared Goff right now, broken thumb, he's getting surgery. He's not going to play week 17. He's going to try to be back for the playoffs, but the Rams most likely end up with the sixth seed. So you could be getting a Seahawks-Rams rematch in 2 weeks with either Jared Goff really banged up recovering from surgery or he's not playing at all. No matter what, it seems like the Seahawks are in pretty good shape, at least for that first round.
Yeah, although the interesting note here is the three teams, the Packers, the Saints, and the Seahawks, are all on the road at arch rivals who would love to ruin their last week against
absolutely.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. Hey, it's always great. Awesome information, folks. He's Brandon Gustafson of ESPN 710 on Seattle. Check out his work online, 710sports.com. On Twitter, the handle is at TheBGustafson. Hey, fun stuff. Enjoy. And obviously, once we see how the playoffs set up, look forward to talking again, Brandon. Always appreciate your time.
Sounds good. Thanks, Steve. Take care.
All right. Take it easy.